You are listening to the Coach, Transform, and Prosper podcast, the place to be if you want to grow yourself and your business along with it. This is episode 3. Well, hello, everybody. It's Ferocia here from Coach Training World. And I'd like to personally welcome you to the Coach, Transform, and Prosper podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks so much for joining me. The Coach, Transform, and Prosper podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes can be found at coachtrainingworld.com/podcast. Well, hello, everyone. It's Ferocia here, and I'm sitting here with Emily Schett, LLC, who is from Philadelphia. And Emily is a financial coach. She actually works with Money Matters. And honestly, I think one of the things I heard her say once is, you know, she helps women to really just be, you know, what's the word you used?
Unapologetic.
Yes. So I absolutely love that because I think many of us really feel uncomfortable around topics of money, whether we have enough or we have too much. It's always a topic of discussion. But before we jump in, as always, I love to bring a little bit of the personal part into this. And Emily actually had shared with me prior to our conversation here today that she is, well, has been a model, and she also has been a professional cake decorator. So I would just love to hear a little bit more about that because I love how we have so many parts to our life.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll start with modeling. So I have been 6 feet tall since I was in like second grade. And it was kind of always on the radar because of my height that maybe this is something that would be cool to do. Have been really interested in it ever since I was a little kid. It just was never, I mean, we didn't live close enough to any major cities really to have it happen. And when I was in college and I had just turned 18, I decided I'm an adult now and I know everything. So I'm just going to move to LA. And I bought a one-way ticket and I intended to stay there just for the summer, just to see what would happen, but I wasn't sure exactly, you know, if I'd just fall on my face when I got there. So I was like, one way, and maybe I'll be home in a week. Maybe I'll be home in a few months. And I got out there, and it ended up, you know, taking off, relatively speaking, pretty quickly. And I was primarily doing runway work. I did a couple of commercials, transferred to an agency in New York, and then when I went back to school, worked primarily in Boston as I was finishing up college because I could just kind of book stuff without needing to go to casting since I'd already worked in major markets. So it was really cool.
Oh my God, that is so awesome. Yeah, I love that. You just went one-way ticket, threw yourself out there into the possibility, and magic, it happened.
Yeah. My parents did not love it at first, but once they saw that I wasn't getting murdered and I was actually making some money, you know, they're really happy for me.
Well, of course, parents want to see us succeed for sure. What about the cake decorating?
Yeah. So it's funny. My mom had taken a cake decorating class and was in the grocery store and someone in the bakery just like mentioned that there was a job opening. And my stepdad was like, oh, well, you know, my wife does it. And she was like, I have a job. Like, why would I, like, I don't mean to be a cake decorator, you know, but my daughter would probably be interested. So she came home and was like, Emily, do you want to be a cake decorator? And I was like, sure, but I don't know how to decorate cakes. And she's like, well, just talk to them. And like, you know, maybe if you get it, you'll have a few weeks lead time. I can teach you some stuff. So I went in and talked to them the next day and they hired me to start the next day. And I ran home. I was like, Mom, quick, teach me roses. Real quick. That's the baseline. And then I just kind of learned from there. How to make other flowers and stuff and, you know, work there for a while. And they made twice as much money as cashiers. So it was a good high school job for me.
Right on. So even back then you were really conscious about money and making more.
Yeah. I think it's always been something that, growing up when I was much younger, there wasn't much money. And so I knew that I was good at learning things and I just decided money is something that I'm going to learn really well. And master, honestly. And that's really where I feel like I am sort of ahead of the curve in a lot of ways, with, you know, my financial understanding. So.
Well, and I find that that's so rare in women.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know you probably noticed.
Yep.
said
interest. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it amusing that you even learned how to speak Chinese. So there's a lot in you. There's a lot in you.
Yeah.
So today you came in to co-create with me and to possibly solve a problem, figure it all out for yourself. What is it that you would love to dive into?
So what I am most interested in right now is as I'm ramping up my practice with clients, I've been working with individuals and a little bit with married couples on financial things that they want to work through. And as I expand, I'm really interested in developing content that's more accessible. Maybe if, you know, scheduling necessarily like can't work one-on-one with everyone who might want some sort of guidance, but developing other content that still has a huge impact for people that I feel really comfortable putting out there, that like knowing that it's going to be really valuable, ideally as much as working one-on-one with me would be.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, you're really trying to level up your coaching from the one-to-one and to maybe offering programs and services.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I find, I mean, there's, you know, a financial investment to the one-on-one coaching, and there's also just scheduling, and I really want to reach as many people as I can. So to not have the limitations of scheduling with time zones and stuff like that, that gives me a much broader platform if I can create some content that is available even when I am not.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and, you know, as someone who's helping people create healthier finances for themselves, what a great model to be putting out there for yourself with the passive income potential and things like that. Yeah. So tell me, you say you want to make sure that it has, I think, integrity.
Yes.
That it actually produces the same kinds of results for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really feel, like I had mentioned before we started recording, just when I'm working individually with people, it's such an immediate impact and it makes me feel so good. And so I want to feel as good about content that I'm not then facilitating like every single step of the way, that I know, yeah, this is good enough and this is going to be worth it to you really to, you know, to do that video training or use that tool that I developed or something like that.
Okay. So there's a story in there why it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
What is
what is the story?
Yeah. What's the story?
That's such a good question. I've been kind of reflecting on it, you know, before we started, so I cheated in a way, but, one thing that I believe is driving it is when I decided to become a coach, it really was an evolution of, oh, I'm going to coach within the organization that I work at, for young women specifically. And it kind of evolved to like, I love doing this so much and I want to do more and more of this and reach even more people outside of my immediate sphere. And so I thought, okay, how do I create a business around that? And I believe that the mistake that I made was I signed up for all of these freebies from everyone who says, you know, here's how to create an online business in 2 weeks and multiple seven figures and all this stuff. And it just felt so dishonest that it made me not even want to. Because now I'm being so bombarded by it. And a lot of it, honestly, like, isn't valuable.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, how could I cut through the noise? And I just don't want anyone to feel like it's not worthwhile, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like competing with a bunch of like screaming voices. And like, how do I differentiate? And then also like, how do I make sure that my stuff is actually good? Like, is it not as good because I'm marketing it on the same platforms as people where I found a lot of crap, honestly.
There is definitely a lot of crap. And there's also a lot of good stuff for sure too. I'm hearing almost two things though. One, that, you know, how do you cut through the noise? How do you differentiate? And two, how do you make sure that your content and what you're producing, and I'm assuming not only in your marketing content, but your program content, your paid content, is a value to them.
Yes.
Which area sounds like the first place to explore?
I think probably the second one of, just knowing that my content that people will, you know, invest in is absolutely worth the investment.
Okay. So it sounds like you've already got some discernment for you in terms of what content is valuable and what isn't? What are some of the criteria that you go by when you see other people's work?
I think what is really important is that what is delivered is what they said would be delivered. So I get a lot of
promise.
Keeping the promise. So yeah, pretty basic starting point. I'll get a lot of invitations to, you know, webinars where it's like, I'm going to teach you like the number one secret of online businesses. And then it's really just the beginning of their sales funnel where they didn't actually tell you like literally anything valuable. And then I have joined other webcasts where it's like, hey, I'm going to share the tools that I used in creating my company, and they'll give specific tools. And I'm like, oh, cool. I've never heard of these things. I'll write that down. But it's so rare that that happens.
It is rare. So it sounds like there are certain, well, keeping the promise.
Yeah.
But also something that's fresh and new and not out there. You know, what I like to think about, it's not already Googleable. I hit Google, you know, because then why bother even engaging with someone if it's already out there?
Exactly. Yeah. So and that kind of, I guess that's an interplay of cutting through the noise of, I think a lot of people have like flashy headlines for things that they're promoting and then they deliver nothing. Like, how can I make sure that I'm like, no, for real, it's going to be really good.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're actually clued in a little bit more than you're giving yourself credit, because the first thing I'm hearing is that you're actually producing content that's relevant, that provides them true value.
Yeah.
You know, and also you're honoring the promise, like you're not promoting X and delivering Y.
Yes. Yeah. That's a huge thing. Integrity is, you know, it's one of my core values, and just something that always comes up is like, even when things are hard, that people know that I do the right thing. And so that's where it feels like such this huge responsibility to, you know, really for the first time, I'm building my own company and I'm starting my own thing, and I'm accountable for every step of the way and like making sure that I'm like absolutely on point with everything. It's a huge responsibility in my mind.
In your mind. Yeah. Well, and I think at the core of who you are, you really, truly want to be seen as valuable. You want to be seen as someone that they can trust.
Yeah.
So those are all great goals.
Yeah.
So knowing that already it's about relevant content, meaningful content, content that will help them to trust you, what does that tell you about how you might design your curriculum or your, are you going to do, let me double check, are you going to do a program or are you going to do a, what do you want to create?
I think I'd like to start with a video series on different like topics around money, that issues that specifically affect women, and then interlace that with like some exercises. Almost, I'm picturing it as sort of like a weekly distribution, and then you get homework each week, and we kind of check back on progress. And I mean, there are so many emotions around money that there's no shortage of content to be developed. And I don't want to just pontificate about money. I want to really say, and now here's something that you can do that's going to, you know, help clarify some things for you, whether we work together in the future or not, that just in working through the video content and the exercises is going to be really beneficial.
Yeah.
So yeah, I need to develop it first.
Yes.
That's probably step one. But yeah, yeah. I'm thinking the first major, I guess, offering besides the working with me privately is going to be that video series with the exercises.
Okay. So it sounds like kind of like an online program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Self-guided. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and your big concern right now is that they're not going to get value from something like that unless you do it a particular way.
Yeah. And I guess maybe that no one would sign up.
That's a different one.
Yeah. Cause I actually kind of feel, I know that I'm feel like I'm bouncing all over the place, but that's
good. I'm tracking.
Yeah, there's this piece of like, I really want it to be really impactful, but then as I kind of feel into like, I know exactly what I want it to be and what I want it to look like and the types of exercises that would be beneficial. And I just knowing myself, I actually know that it will if people do it, it will be hugely impactful. So now it's back to like, how can I like get people to want to do it and to like feel that it's going to be valuable before they sign up. Yeah.
So it sounds like you already recognize that you are so committed to make it valuable that that's no longer an issue. Is that correct?
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, not to be corny, but like anything that I commit to, like I'm not done until it's really freaking good. So yes. I know that I'm not going to put something out there until I know that it's going to be really good. So, having some like external confirmation of that, like maybe I can, when I develop it, maybe, like beta test it with some of my clients.
Great idea.
Yeah.
So beta testing. So it's, you know, I just want to check, because when we started our conversation, it was the, how am I going to know my program is good? There's so much crap out there. And it sounds like you've kind of come to the conclusion that you've got it covered.
Yeah. I feel like I know it'll be good. And I can get other people to know it will be good.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're kind of back to the other part of the conversation of Ron. How do you stand out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I would love to know is, when it comes to marketing and positioning yourself, what do you know right now before I kind of launch into any possibilities?
About positioning myself and
differentiation. Marketing. Yeah. I want to figure out like, what have you already done? You know, just give me.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't done much, but I have had, really, like all of the clients that I work with right now are through word of mouth. And then as we've been more, I don't want to say more public, but, you know, I completed the training and so I feel super official, if you will, in talking about it. And as soon as I mention anything about, like, oh, I'm a money coach, people are like, well, I need that. Like, they don't even know what it means yet. And they're like, yeah, I need that thing. Men and women, actually. So, even though I would say I primarily work with women, I have a lot of men who are like interested in understanding what I'm doing better. Mm-hmm. So I think my understanding around my positioning is like when I show up and like, cause I can speak very comfortably now about what I do. I just did that at, you know, a holiday party last night with a ton of people. Like we're very open about, yeah, like Emily's a money coach and, she works with clients individually. And so just talking about it, that one-on-one connection, like I have no problem. So yeah, I guess it's just like showing up authentically as like exactly who I am or who you would meet at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
When you're working with me.
Yeah. So the things I'm looking for is clarity around why people need you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, I'm pretty sure because you've been working with people so far that you probably know that it may not just be something that's you're thinking about as you talk about differentiation.
Yeah. So the types of challenges that people are dealing with, there's a lot. So a lot of times I'll work with women who want to make a career change or are forced into needing to make a career change. And there's a money component to it, you know, where maybe they'd like to take a job that pays less money that they're more interested in, or they like a job that makes more money because they know they need XYZ thing. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, also working with couples who, you know, maybe they're recently married or they have a huge goal like buying a house or whatever, and just are on completely different pages financially, to where it's kind of coming to a head of either we're on the same team or we're not. And in a marriage, that's really important.
So what I'm hearing is actually two different audiences right now. One, couples and really connecting, you know, really aligning goals or aligning understanding around money, you know, kind of the financial plan to keep the marriage together. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other group, there seems to be like a transition that's they're either wanting to shift into more money because they have needs or wanting to find work that's more meaningful and maybe also finding other ways to make up the financial difference. You know, like I think about the person that wants to volunteer that still wants to have income coming in or something like that.
Yeah. I think a word that comes up so often when I'm discussing this or working with people is sustainability. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that you can take kind of like within reason, like almost any financial situation, and create a sustainable life that is comfortable. Like that's the best outcome really, is that you have the security in knowing that exactly what you've chosen can be sustained.
Yes.
That's the big thing that people are looking for.
Okay. And when they say sustainability, what do they think the problem is that prevents them from having it?
A lot of times it's that, well, what they think the problem is and then what the problem ends up being.
What they think.
They're not making enough money. Okay. Or that their spouse is spending too much money.
Okay, so there's not enough money, or someone, the money's getting drained somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is there a particular context in their life where the money, not having enough money, is really an issue? Where does it hurt them? What does it prevent them from doing or being able to have, or things like that?
Ooh. I guess really, like, ultimately, it prevents peace. And I know that it's just, it sounds abstract to say that. That's where I come back to, like, oh, like, you'll have more peace working with me. And I'm like, what does that mean? But that really is what it is. There's such an undercurrent of anxiety around not being sure if you have enough, you know, each month or each year. Yeah.
So what they notice is they feel really anxious around money. They're probably worried about money all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You
know, and then of course, how they know that is they're fighting with their spouse, or they're probably just feeling like they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm. And they're, a lot of times, we'll find that they are earning, you know, more than enough to cover what they actually want. And there's a lot of these ancillary purchases that are buffers for other issues. And so it drains.
So you really are a money psychologist.
Sure. I have no professional training as a psychologist, but I'll take it.
Well, you know, I'm partially joking here, but what I hear is you work with not only the tactical part around money management and money accumulation, but also the what I would say the emotional body that happens.
Mm-hmm. Money. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A huge amount of the work that I'm doing and will continue to do is around beliefs around money, beliefs in what the outcome, people will decide the outcome of, you know, a conversation with a spouse, like, oh, it won't even go well, so I just won't have that conversation about money. And so it prevents it from ever occurring. And then you never know what, you know, could have been much better if you really just owned, you know, be unapologetic. That's kind of what it comes back to. Like, here's what I want to say, and I'm not going to be sorry for it.
Well, and it's interesting because I think one of the things I see that's going to be something you're going to really have to pay attention to, I'm putting on my big hat here. You've got two different audiences and you're going back and forth and the language is very different. The needs are very different. And so the first thing in terms of standing out is getting really clear in your marketing who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to be talking to couples, they have a whole different needs. They have a whole different set of problems. They're going to think that the problem or what they need is very, very different than that individual person who isn't managing money or tending to a household with someone else. Because that person is probably going to be struggling more with being, and the other piece is in that group, you've got the person that doesn't have enough and they're trying to make enough. And then the person that maybe, you know, is afraid about their money power.
Yeah.
So you've got like, you know, I'm almost like, as I tease it out, I'm like, I think you might have three different groups of people you're talking to right now.
Yeah. And it's, and when you say that, you know, I feel like I'm very clear in what I love to coach around is money challenges and like primarily women. But then when, like, absolutely, now that you're saying it, there are these separate audiences, but I'm feeling like, but I want to help everybody.
No person left behind.
Yeah. No, I love, you know, I can think of like different people that I work with in all of those different groups. And it's like, I wouldn't pick any one of them over the other. So,
So here's the core thing. And this happens so often, especially with coaches. You're not leaving anyone behind. Mm-hmm. But if you were to walk up to a place where there was three doors and only one door was the right door for you, the other two doors aren't going to matter. And if you see three doors, you're going to get really confused because you're now like, which door do I go to? And so you're actually blocking people from seeing you by being all these different options. Now,
yeah,
there's easy ways to solve this. So it's not like you can't have it all, because that's absolutely not what I'm saying. But what you need to do is think about, okay, what's the first doorway, and master that doorway, master your marketing. So it's really, really clear. If that person is coming up to that door, they're going to go, this is my door, I'm going in it, or this isn't my door, it's not for me. Because you want them to be able to be that clear. Is this me or is this not me?
Yeah. I'm almost picturing, like, with that visual of the three doors, it's like you have to go through one of them, but like when you open it up, it's all the same room on the other side. I don't know.
That's totally true. You're right on target with what I'm about to say. So,
okay. Yes.
Because your marketing speaks to the individual, your marketing too. Your services can, I mean, like, you know, for example, I do coach training. I mean, I train inside corporations, I train inside nonprofits, I train therapists exclusively. But when I market to each of those people, I train the everyday people that I love, the general public that really want these skills to start their own businesses. Each four of those categories, I have completely different marketing.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so I could have more than one marketing, because I'm, you know me, and I jump ahead a lot. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like maybe any sort of like online course that I'm going to create is going to be a lot different for a married couple that wants to take it together than it is for an individual.
Absolutely.
More than one. Yeah. And it's like, is that okay? Like it, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's why I sort of put it in a box of like, I must be the one thing all the time. And if, you know, one of my single clients finds out I'm working with a married couple, then I'm not authentic anymore. I'm like, that's not true.
No, but what you're talking about is building out programs. I mean, here's a really silly example, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Notice how many different Chicken Soup for the Soul books they are with based on audiences. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. You know,
the key, though, is to pick one channel, pick one specific audience, and build out from there. And here's the thing that most people don't realize is once you've mastered one area of marketing, you can actually take most of your marketing and do much less work the next time because you've got the backbone in. And mm-hmm. Now you're changing the language, you're changing some of the stuff, but most of the work happens the first time you do it. So get really specific with that audience and know that everything you've done is going to make your make it a fast lane for the next audience.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And it's like, it almost doesn't matter which one I pick first because I can continue to expand.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not like one is better.
It doesn't matter, but I would pick the one that you're most fascinated with.
Mm.
Like, where do you go? Woo! I love this.
Oh, gosh. Do I need to decide right now?
You don't.
Oh God, it's too soon.
I can't decide. So many options.
Yeah, I think it is. It's hard. Yeah, because I, like everyone that I've worked with, like I love all of them. So I have to just pick one and know also that there's no, you know, there's nothing that I'm assigning in terms of value of one over the other just because I picked a door. It's like they're all good doors.
They're all good doors. They're all going to the same place. You're going to be able to open many doors. But just for you to be able to get really specific and distinguish yourself, you're going to really first and foremost want to know, who the heck are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've said this a lot, but I always think about it whenever I'm crafting marketing, I have my one and only, you know, person that I'm speaking to. And that person is in a conglomerate of different profiles of my ideal clients, but my Frankenstein, of course. But that way, everything I do becomes personal and connecting.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I think, you know, when you notice really good marketing, you feel yourself in the words. You understand because that person really gets you. And that's the exact kind of thing you want to create for your clients so that they go, oh, you know what? Emily is a good choice because she already knows who I am in a way. She gets me.
Yeah, she's caught up.
She's caught up. I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to, you know, or she won't get me, or I might be rejected. Because a lot of people, when we're looking for help, especially help around money, you know, I mean, just I think about the times going to the bank to get a loan. It's like, oh my God, they're going to reject me. And they're the nicest people on the planet. But there's a lot of crap around money, you know, and especially about being vulnerable around it. So the more you are helping them to feel connected to you, that's going to be a lifeblood. You know, there's going to be a lifeline like, oh, you know, and of course there's a lot of other things, you know, that you can do to really brand and do stuff. But the number one thing is to first create that connection.
Yeah.
So what might be something with what we've been talking about that would be further to talk about or something you might want to put into action?
Well, how much time do we have? Got time. Okay. I guess there's one more kind of branch coming off of like a hang up almost around deciding on an audience, even though like I understand all the doors are valuable and I understand they're all going to the same place. When I think about like I'd really be able to walk away and say, okay, I'm gonna like say on Facebook that I'm doing this. And so I want to be specific, but then I don't want to alienate all my single friends, you know, or like anyone who might see it. And then it's like,
another story. I'm curious. When you say that, I don't want to alienate all my friends.
Yeah.
Are your friends your clients?
Well, no, not necessarily. Sometimes, I guess.
But ultimately, you know, are you seeking friends or are you seeking clients?
Clients.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, duh. So it's like, if I say what I'm doing, like on the Facebook, and I have whatever, like quote unquote, 1500 friends or whatever it is. I don't know. It's like I don't know all those people, so I'm not sure how I have that many. But but yeah, that's so funny that it's like, oh, of course, like it's okay to like say what I'm doing and I don't expect them all to be my clients. And it's not it's fine. Emily.
It sounds like you had another aha moment. Like,
yeah. Sometimes I just I guess it's, you know, like I want to be able to share what I'm doing and like I'm so excited about it, and I want everyone to be as excited about it, but at the end of the day I don't need, you know, whatever, how many people saying like, oh okay, like I want to coach with her or whatever. It's like, no, like these are just my friends. I'm just letting them know what I'm doing. It's not a sales pitch. It's nothing, you know, just an update on my life.
Absolutely. You know, and as I hear you say, you know, you want everybody to be as excited as you are. Mm-hmm. You know, something that comes to mind is sometimes in my experience, people will get really excited about things for you, but not say a word.
That's true. Actually, that's such a great point. I remember in one of our trainings when someone was talking about writing a blog and wanting enough people to comment on the blog and wanting, you know, wanting the blogs to be shared and all this stuff. And I think about all the blogs that I read and all the podcasts I listen to, and I never comment, you know, but I would be very distraught if they stopped, if they stopped sharing what they were doing. So kind of like this shadow fan base.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, there's a lot of energy around the commenting, the liking, especially on Facebook and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm personally one of those people, like I'll pop on and I'll read stuff and I'll be like, oh, wow, that's cool. I mean, I'm engaged, but sometimes I don't feel like writing back because I don't feel like I know what to say.
Yeah. It's like, I appreciate it. The end.
Cool. Right on.
You know.
I mean, if you think about it, there's a whole social dynamic in terms of, am I cool enough to comment? Or as I comment back, is this as cool as what she's saying? I mean, it's like crazy the stuff we think about.
So. Yeah. I would love to just, when I think about the sustainability of, you know, how I proceed forward with cultivating all of this, I would really love just to be detached from all of the social media. And like, that's just also just in general life, like that's exhausting to think about, you know, I posted this 20 minutes ago and I don't have enough likes, so I'm going to take it down. You know?
Yeah.
I see that a lot. Not me. I'll leave it up there.
Yeah. Leave it up there. And I've actually seen, you know, just another perspective, people have posted stuff 3 years ago and then suddenly it goes viral.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're just waiting for the right flood of audience to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Well, I am going to spend some time now before we begin our Convert class in a few weeks here. I needed to go through the pre-work for that again because I kept thinking I was clear, and then I think I'm clear again, and then I think I'm clear again, but like not quite there. And now I feel like I kind of have, you know, the maybe unrelationship engaged woman who I love working with. I have married couples who I love working with, and I have like budding entrepreneurs who I love working with, and that comes up a lot around money. So I think just kind of feeling into, okay, which door shall I go through? And knowing that all of the people are on the other side, no matter which door I pick, and it's just like, where do we start? But I'm feeling like excited about it. So yeah, I think probably the action item to come back to that is really deciding on who that is before we get started on this next part. And I think, I wonder if it's too soon to say something like on Facebook, like maybe wait until I have my, like exactly, I guess that, yeah, it's like, I want to share what I'm doing, but I also want like my messaging of like who exactly I'm serving initially to be spot on before I say anything. So I think I jumped the gun a little bit with LinkedIn, to be honest. And it was more just I had shared on LinkedIn that I was doing this and a lot of people were like, oh, cool. And now I feel like since I'll be making more tweaks, I'm like, ah, crap, I wish I had waited. So I don't want to jump the gun with Facebook, I guess.
It sounds wise. And I think what I'm hearing is that you're going to kind of devote to getting really clear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, make like more of like a grand opening as opposed to a, here's Greg, you know.
But please don't look.
Yeah. And what comes to mind when you say that, I think a lot of times it's really powerful to have your platform, you know, information, like, how do I say it? To really just be rock solid so that you're more trustworthy. Because I think a lot of times what we see out there is people, I changed my mind. It's like, oh my God, you can't make up your mind about your business.
You don't know who you are.
Yeah. It's like, what's up with that? How can you, I mean, there's, it creates a feeling of I can't think of the word. It's almost like fragmented is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think that can also send a more dangerous message to your prospective clients. Now, again, you know, if you don't have thousands of people coming to your pages and things like that, it's probably okay to keep changing. And there will be some of that as you hone in on your audience and you hone in on your marketing. But also, I love the fact that waiting until you're really certain on who and your core message and, you know, your signature solution, all those things that will help people to go, this is me or this isn't me. And you want that. And I think it's scary. And you know, some people are like, I don't want to turn anyone away. And it's like, you actually do, because you want your ideal clients.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Awesome. How are you feeling?
Feeling excited. And I'm just really excited about the process in general. And I'm having more and more people, like the people that I'm working with, we had like our core base, and now there's this word of mouth getting out of like where I'm booking sessions with people on evenings and in weekends. And so I feel like we're going to reach this tipping point of where it's just going to be huge and awesome. And I'm so excited to like be really clear, because I feel like my people are right there, and like this is the way to like meet them and help, you know, have a big impact. So I'm excited.
Well, you are one of those people that you just go for it. I mean, look, you just, I'm going to go be a model. I'm moving to LA.
I'll be back sometime.
you know, but also, you know, someone that really cares and someone that wants to do good work that actually transforms life. So I just really want to acknowledge that. Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Mm. And thank you for this opportunity to do this. Like, I just love this. This is really helpful for me. And, you know, more work to be done, but it's all like, it's just so joyful to be creative again, you know.
That was my heaven sound.
We did just awesome. Hands
thank
together.
You so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, all right. I'll see you soon. Okay. And good luck with that masterful marketing of yours.
Yes, thank you.